Well, please have your Bibles open at Colossians chapter 1. Well, Christmas is nearly here. The tree is up. Next week, we're going to be singing Christmas carols. Some people love them, some people really don't like them at all. But next week, we can't have a nativity without singing Christmas carols, can we? So we will be singing Christmas carols. I hope that you've got some of your presents sorted out. Ladies, all of your presents. Gentlemen, you better start pretty soon, hadn't you? Christmas cards, they've all got to be written. There's so much to do at Christmas. It's such a busy time of year. So many things to organise, so many things to prepare, so many people to see, so many events to go get along to, so much to watch on TV. There's so much going on. And in all this busyness, it's so easy to forget what Christmas is all about. So I would like to use this time on Sunday mornings for the next few weeks to focus on the true meaning of Christmas, which is, of course, the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and what he came to do. And I'm going to be doing that by focusing on this passage we've had read to us three times. We'll be looking at this passage three times, three different messages. And this week, we're going to be looking at just verse 13 and 14, and we'll be thinking about the why of Christmas. Next week, we'll be thinking about the who of Christmas, and then the following week, we'll be thinking about what Christmas is all about, what Christmas is for. Now, I know that this morning, most of us regularly attend church, and we know this message. We know what it's all about. But as we go into that time of year when we have the greatest opportunity to share what the Lord has done for us, I think it's good that we remind ourselves about the fundamentals, about the ABC, about what Christmas is really all about. Now, what do you think of when you think about Christmas? What do you think about first? Do you think about Bethlehem? Do you think about the stable? Do you think about the shepherds? Do you think about the wise men? Do you think about all of these things? While all those things are important to remember, the thing that's more important is what lies behind it all, and that's remembering why he was born, why Jesus was born, why he came to this earth. What was the purpose of his visit? That lies behind everything that Christmas is. And these verses from Colossians 1, 13 to 14, give us the reason for his birth. It says in verse 13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not all about maximizing sales in shops, which is what it's become in our society. Christmas is all about the redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And our sins are, of course, the biggest problem that each and every one of us have to face. You can't understand Christmas unless you understand something about what the Bible calls sin. And that is the simple fact that each and every human being that is born, and that includes all of us here because we've all been born, all of us, we fall short of the standards that God has set for us. Now, we have to remember that God has made us, and he's made us with a purpose. He's made us to worship him. He's made us to serve him. And when we do anything else with our lives other than worship him and serve him, we're falling short of the standards that God has given us. And this means that God, because he is just, because he is perfect, because he always does the right thing, he's going to have to punish us because we fall short of the standards that he has set. And it's not just a case of not measuring up. Actually, each one of us rebel against him and try and go our own way and live our own life as if he does not exist whatsoever. So each and every person owes God big time because we are doing everything that he does not want us to do. We even pretend that he's not there. When we start thinking about the things we do wrong, that list goes on and on and on. That's the problem that each of us face. Now, when it comes to facing problems, Different people have different ways of solving them. Some people like to pretend that there is no problem at all. They're the sort of person that when a letter comes through the post and it's got red writing on or something like that, they go, oh, I'm not looking at that, and they put it on the side. And there's this little pile of unopened envelopes build up. I can see someone saying, oh, that's you. And we know that within those letters, there's things that have got to be sorted. But if we can pretend that they don't exist, well, we're all right for the moment. But what happens eventually? They come and take your gas meter away. They turn your electricity meter off or something like that, don't they? You end up in real trouble. So it's not something that we can just ignore when we've got a problem. Other people, they deal with problems in a different way. They think, the rules don't apply to me. I'm different. I'm special. I'm allowed to drive at 45 miles an hour in that 30 mile an hour zone, officer, because I'm such a good driver. I wonder how many times police officers have heard something like that. People tend to think that the rules apply to other people. And when they see other people breaking the rules, they're, ooh, you shouldn't be doing that. But they never think that the rules apply to them as well. So when it comes to people rebelling against God, oh, that's not me, but that's maybe everyone else, but it doesn't apply to me. Do you think that works in front of the judge? No, it doesn't at all. But that's what some people think. While other people, they look at the problem, and straight away they're there, and they're rolling their sleeves up, and they're going, right, I'm going to get this sorted. I'm going to work it out all by myself. Now, when that's dodgy plumbing or something like that, maybe you'll be able to sort it out yourself. But when it comes to sorting out our problem with God, well, they try all sorts of things. I know, I'll give to children in need. God will like that. Oh, I know, I'll go along to church. If I go along to church, then God will be happy with me and the problem will be solved. That doesn't work either, because it's God's standards that have been broken, and God is the one who says how they've got to be sorted out. And other people, when they're faced with a problem, what do? They go, this is too much for me. I need some help. And when it comes to sorting out our relationship with God, that's the place that we've got to be in. We've got to get to that point where we realize that the only thing we can do is get some help because the problem is too big for us. And as we look at this passage, the help is available from an unexpected source. Now, often when people think about God, they think about some sort of angry God who's always there and he's always ready to sort of push you down and make your life boring. And he's just angry and he just wants to tell you off all the time. And some people think that Jesus came to save us from that angry God. That's what people believe. They believe that Jesus came to save us from the angry God. But that's not what we see here in this passage. Have a look at verse 13. And what's the second word there? It says, for he. Who is that he who has rescued us? Who is it? Well, to find out, you've got to look back to the verse earlier, verse 12, which we didn't read because it's the end of a very long sentence that the Apostle Paul has written there. But it says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he, that he is referring back to God the Father. It's there and it's pointing to him. We see that it is the Father who has rescued us and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Now that's clearly not going to be talking about Jesus. It's got to be talking about God the Father. And when it comes to rescuing us from our sins, it's God the Father who gets the ball rolling. He's the one who is starting it all off. And that's not what people expect, because they think that God is an angry God who wants to punish them. But actually, we see that salvation, it starts off with God the Father. And it starts off with him because, as well as being a just and righteous and holy God, he's also a God of love, of mercy, of grace and forgiveness. So we see quite clearly that he is the one who sends Jesus to this earth. Jesus was sent to this earth by God the Father. Now, sometimes we forget about that, don't we? And we think that Jesus has just turned up there in Bethlehem. But he was sent by God the Father to rescue people. And we all need rescuing. Rescuing from the consequences of our own actions. What the Bible calls sin. Now, being a sinner, it's not something that we choose to be. We're just born that way. And we prove it each day by our actions. But when we live as sinners, it means that we are in, what it says here, the dominion of darkness. That's there in verse 13. The dominion of darkness. And when we're in the dominion of darkness, it's a terrible place to be. Because we are there, people may think that they're free, but they're not. They're slaves to their own desires. They struggle with the consequences of their behavior. And spiritually, they're under the control of Satan as well. They're in the dominion of darkness. And it's a dreadful place to be. It really is a horrible place to be. And they're unable to get away from this sinful behavior. They're absolutely trapped. But because it's all that they've ever known, so many people, they don't realize that they're there at all. And they may even argue that it's the best place to be. But when we look at them, what they're actually doing is constantly self-harming themselves, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. They're unable to stop. And most of the time, they're so used to living that way that they can't imagine anything else. It's horrible to be in the dominion of darkness. And the majority of people in this town are in that place. A dreadful, dreadful place to be. Such people need rescuing. And this is what Jesus says, what God has authorized Jesus to do. So God, through the work of Jesus, and when we talk about the work of Jesus here, we're talking about the moments from his birth, and then his perfect life, and then his death on the cross, and then him raising from the grave, and even ascending into heaven. It all goes together as the what Jesus has done for us. It's all needed for us to be saved, to be brought somewhere new, a place of forgiveness, a place of freedom, the kingdom of the Son, which in other parts of Scripture is called the kingdom of light. This is something that God does for his people. He has brought them. That's there at the end of verse 13. He's brought them to the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And we see that that kingdom is founded on love. It's a much better place to be than the dominion of darkness. And that idea of being brought, the word behind that, it goes back to the Old Testament. And that exodus that happened out of Egypt, where we saw the Israelites, and they were there in Egypt, and they were slaves, being forced to do all the dirty jobs, all the unpleasant jobs, having no freedom at all. And they've been there for generations. It was all that they ever knew. They were there in Egypt, trapped as slaves. And as Moses tried to help them, it actually got worse for them and more difficult for them. But the Lord, in his mighty power, brought them out of Egypt. They were taken somewhere else. And that's what people who are spiritually in the dominion of darkness need. They need to be taken somewhere else, somewhere better. We can understand this in material terms if we just look at the news. Look at what's happened in Aleppo or Mosul or under the control of Islamic State. We see people who are trapped in dreadful conditions. Horrendous conditions that we cannot even imagine. And don't you think that those people, they need rescuing. They need taking somewhere else. Spiritually, the sinner is in a worse place than those poor folk who are struggling in the Middle East. They need to be rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought to that place where there is love, the kingdom of the Son, where spiritually everything is clean and fresh and good. Of course, at this point, the thinking person has remembered that all of us have rebelled against God. And when you rebel against God, you build up a debt that you cannot pay. That's the problem of sin. It's a debt that we cannot pay. And because God is perfectly just, he can't just let that debt go unanswered. He can't just cancel that debt. But God, because of what Jesus has done, has made it possible for us to be forgiven and restored. And this is where we move into verse 14. And we have that lovely word there, redemption. Now, to redeem is an old term that refers to the price that was required to buy a slave and give him their freedom. They used to redeem slaves. So it was possible for a slave to redeem themselves. But more often it would be a family member or a friend who would buy a person back from slavery. They would pay this redemption price. And the reason Jesus has come to this earth was so that he could pay the redemption price for those who trust in him. Now, in order to do this, he had to be able to pay the price properly. He had to be born as a human being so he could represent us, so he could be on our terms. And he had to live a perfect life without any form of sin at all. He had to experience all the temptations that we go through without giving in to them. And then, with a perfect life, he was able to offer his life up as an offering and face death and die in our place. Because Scripture tells us that the wages of sin are death. The consequences of sin are death. If you live as a sinner, death comes to you. Jesus never sinned. No one could accuse him of any wrongdoing whatsoever. So, he did not deserve to die. But he died. And in doing that, he's made it possible for our debt to be transferred onto his shoulders so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be set free. That's what we see here at the end of verse 14, that forgiveness that comes from him. Those whom God transfers from the kingdom of darkness are brought into the kingdom of the Son. They're redeemed, the price is paid, the debt is cancelled, and they are forgiven. And when God declares that you are forgiven, you really are forgiven because he never changes. Once he says something, then he never goes back on his word. So when we think about what God has done for us through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's no wonder that for Christians, Christmas is a great time of celebration. Now we know that Jesus almost certainly wasn't born on the 25th of December. But he was born at some point in the year, and it's right that we celebrate it. So why not the 25th of December? It's right that the church celebrates his birth because it's the, as it were, the physical start of our salvation. Before the birth of Jesus, there were all those thousands of years looking forward to the one that God had promised. And then he's born. And then he lives and dies so that we can be saved. So it's right that we look back and we celebrate what he has done. Because we know that the wood of the stable manger would one day be replaced with a wooden cross. The cross where he would die. And we know that Jesus has come to this earth because of the love that God has for people who are hopelessly and helplessly lost. So today, the reason for Christmas remains exactly the same. But sadly, people have forgotten all about it. And their behavior just proves that today. It proves that they are in the dominion of darkness. As people rush around in the next few weeks, spending money that they haven't got on presents that they don't need, putting up trees and twinkly lights, preparing a lavish feast and sending cards to one another, eating chocolates out of the Advent calendar. The Advent calendar used to be the countdown to the Christmas day and the birth of our Savior. Now it's just a daily little treat with no mention at all. It's ridiculous, really. They do all this because they're trapped in the dominion of darkness. And what they're doing is they're putting their heads in the sand. They're not opening the mail with the bill in. They're just completely pretending that God is not there. And they're proving that they're in the dominion of darkness. So this morning, my question for you is, do you know where you are Are you in the kingdom of the Son that God loves? Or are you still in the dominion of darkness? As you read Colossians 1, 13 and 14, do you understand the why of Christmas? And the heart of our celebrations each and every year are the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was born on this earth. It's right to celebrate. It's right to enjoy yourself, to see people, to share presents, to have a great time together. But we need to understand why we are celebrating Christmas. We need to remember that the cradle leads to the cross and the empty tomb. And that means redemption and forgiveness for each one of us. If we know this, then you are in the kingdom of the Son, a place of freedom and forgiveness. But the other side is, of course, the dominion of darkness. And if you're not in the kingdom of the Son, then you're automatically in the dominion of darkness. There is no middle ground. You can't have your foot in one camp and the other. You are either in or you are out. Now, if you're in that place, that dark place, then that's the place where everyone starts off. We've all been there. It's what we're born into. The question is, do you care? Are you worried about it? Are you concerned about it? Well, I would say to you, don't ignore the problem. It's not going to get better by itself. It's not something that you can ignore. It's something which does apply to you, and it's not something that you can work out by yourself. You're someone who needs help. You've got to solve this. This problem has got to be solved. You can't do it by yourself. You need to think about it. Remember who God is. God is the one who has created you, and he has given you life, and you've been made in order to worship him and to serve him. And if you don't measure up to his standards, then you're in trouble. Just read the Ten Commandments. Most people don't get by, well, no one really gets by number one. That you should have no other gods before me. Do not worship idols. Never mind when we get down towards the end of the list and it talks about little things like lying. Do any of those things, then you are in trouble. You're in the wrong place. And you cannot clear the debt yourself. You need help. You need the why of Christmas. You need the redemption and the forgiveness that come from Jesus Christ and him alone. And if you go to Jesus responding to his call, you will be accepted, because in another part of the Bible, Jesus says, all those the Father give me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. If you go to Jesus, he will not reject you. So you can do that by praying to him. You can do that by admitting that you need help, that you need transporting out of the kingdom of darkness and into safety and security. And if you make that step, then this year, for the first time ever, you will really understand the why of Christmas. Amen.